Now, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, Lord. Thank you, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through this dark, dying, decaying world, Lord, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. It illuminates the way. God, we need you more today than ever. God, it's amazing how much can happen in a day, in a week. But God, lead, guide us, and direct us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Let the words jump off the pages and jump into our hearts. Then let us be bold enough to live it, not to just be hearers only, but to be doers of your word. On how we love you on today, Lord. We bless you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Amen. I want to thank the men on Happy Father's Day. And I've been working too hard. We got some strong men in this church. I've been working. Man, I got to put you guys to work. Amen. Thank God for surrounding me with strong men and good brothers. And so thankful. And my prayer is that we'll continue to use our gifts for the glory of God and in ministry and family and all things that God has called us to do. Did I say 2 Chronicles? Second Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 7. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge. You should have that underlined in your Bible if you don't. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this people that is so great? And God said unto Solomon, behold, God said unto Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches and wealth or honor, nor the life of your enemies, neither yet has asked long life, but has asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people, whom I've made you the king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto you, and I will give you riches, wealth, and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before you, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Amen. Look at Chronicles 2 and 1. And Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and a house for his kingdom. If you look at that, notice the order, men and women. He built God's house first and then he built his house. When you build God's house first, when you make God's house a priority, then God will take care of your house. Somebody say amen. Before I get into the message, I just want to just comment, and I want to thank Manny for the prayer for what happened in South Carolina. And so you all know how we're fasting and praying every day, and it's a spiritual warfare, and we see the evidence of it. And as I'm in prayer and just thinking about it, you know, God, God, why would you allow that to happen? And then God said, well, what about the sins you committed last week or even last night? I allowed that to happen. So maybe it wasn't the sin of murder, but just like you and I commit our sins, God just says, hey, I'm not going to override your free will. Where's Ivy? Is my mic on this morning, Ivy? Okay. So whatever you and I did last night or last week or whenever we committed, God doesn't override our free will. You say, well, Pastor, I didn't commit the sin of murder. Well, I beg to differ, because our sins are the ones that nailed Christ to the cross. Amen. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. He died so that we might live. He shed his blood so we could be free. Amen. Okay, God, I got it. I got it. Okay. So, yeah, we have committed a sin that's led to murder, the murder of Christ, so that we could be free. God, where was I? Where were you, God? God said, I was in the same place I was when they killed my son. And I had to watch. That's why when we stand before God, we'll be without excuse. Well, God, you don't understand what it was like to see someone die who was innocent. God, hold up. I beg to differ. How about my son? So when you're sharing with people at your job, at the water cooler, and they're talking about where was God at, you let them know, well, God had to, it's the same place he was when they killed his son. And then you go ahead and share about how Jesus Christ died for our sins so that we could be free. Use it as an opportunity to witness. Hey, man, don't let them just say, God, if God was so good, why would he allow this to happen? The same way he allows your sin to happen. You do it. You do your own thing. People do what they want to do when they don't have a relationship to God. They have no regard for anything but themselves. It's very selfish. But what do we do when we don't have God? We do what we want to do, and God allows it. Then we stand before God, and he's the true, the living God. He said, vengeance is mine, he will repay. His judgments are true and righteous. We will have no excuse for not accepting this free gift of Jesus Christ. So use it as an opportunity to witness, because people want to put this on God as if God allows evil to happen. It's our free will. It's our sin. It's a fallen world that we live in. And that's the result of it. The spiritual warfare that we are in. Amen? Amen. Remember, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against spiritual wickedness, principalities, rulers of darkness in high places. It's really deep. If we could just have a glimpse into the spiritual warfare that's going on, it would blow us away. And then we see the manifestation of it when someone is influenced to just do something demonic. And we can't be surprised, because if you read where it talks about the end times, how people will have no natural affection towards each other, and truce breakers and heady and high minded. It's already been written. So I just wanted to share that. We can talk later about it if you have any questions or anything else you'd like to share with Pastor. But let's be sober and let's be vigilant, because it says the adversary walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We are in a serious spiritual warfare. And those are my guys in the military. You know, when you're in war, I mean, you're always on guard. Family, let's always be on guard. Amen. Physically, mentally, and spiritually. Amen. All right, well, let's get back to the lesson. Amen. We see that Solomon had wisdom like no other, because he asked for that and his heart was in the right place. But as we, let's examine Solomon's life just a little bit deeper. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And our base scripture was Esther 5 and 3, when the king asked Esther, what does she want? Esther, what do you want? You've come to the king, what do you want? So we're trying to figure out within ourselves, as we're in our prayer time, and if God would ask us the question, what do we want? What do we say? And as I was examining my heart all week, what do I really want? I'm still examining my heart to see, what do I really want? During your prayer time this week, let God minister to that, to your heart. What do you really want? It's a tough one, because I'm not sure. So God, give me wisdom and direction and guide me. I know I want to please you. I want to do your will. I want to reach others. I want to make disciples. But is that what I, is that just a good church answer, or is that what's really in my heart? Yeah. Amen. And that's where the examination is still going on. So ask yourself, if God asks you the question, what do you want? What do you want? So we went from Esther, we went to Solomon, where God personally asked him, what do you want? When he appeared to him. We're going to come back to the part on how to put yourself in position to hear from God. How do you get a response from God where God asks you, Sister Tara, what do you want? You've been praying, you've been fasting, you've been seeking me. What do you want? How do you get yourself in a position to have that conversation with God? We're coming back to that. But as we examine the life of Solomon, I want to go a little bit deeper because Solomon had it all. You want to just kind of see how Solomon handled it. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Chapter 2 and verse 1. This is Solomon speaking. I said in my heart, go to now and I will test you with gladness or with pleasure. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And behold, this is empty. Solomon, so God asked him, what did he want? So God gave him wisdom and knowledge. He said, I'll give you everything because you asked for wisdom and knowledge. I'm going to give you everything else. So now Solomon said he's going to test himself with gladness and pleasure. Whatever feels good, I'm going to do it. And he said, okay, this is empty. All the men said, amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day. We're going there, man. Then verse 2, I said of laughter, it is mad. So he just wanted to laugh everything off. Everything is funny. Everything is a joke. It's all good. I'm just cool. He said, that's crazy. You can't live a life where everything is all good and you just laugh everything off and be immature. He said, that's crazy. And he said, and of pleasure, what is it doing? So I'm laughing at everything. It's all good. I'm into all types of pleasures. And he said, it's doing nothing for me. Verse 3, so I sought in my heart to give myself to wine. Gonna blame it on alcohol. Amen. He said, I'm gonna give my heart to wine, yet I'm gonna acquaint myself with wisdom. Okay, make the first note that wine and wisdom don't mix. That's an oxymoron, so you know he's on the wrong track with that. If they tell you not to operate your motor vehicle, that's a car. If you can't drink and operate your motor vehicle, how are you going to drink and operate your life? If you can't drink and drive and your life, trust me, is more complicated to deal with than a car, an automobile, how are you going to drink and operate your life? We on, Ivy? You still on? We good, Jalen? It's on? Solomon said he wanted to drink and think. I'm a drink, but I can still think. Have you ever tried to talk to someone who's been drinking? You can't operate that way. That's not the time to try and get all deep, Manny, after you had a few drinks. Now let's get into politics and the Lord. Manny, stop right there. Don't drink and think, okay? Don't do it. So Solomon said, I'm a drink and think all day. And you can't give your heart to wine and wisdom. Look what he says in verse 3. I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquaint my heart, it's your heart, underline heart, you can't give your heart to wine and wisdom. And then he said, and to lay hold on foolishness, so I'm a drink, think, and act like a fool. Now this is the one who God gave wisdom and knowledge, all right? And then he says, till I might see what was the good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. It didn't work. It just doesn't work. Now, here we go. As I'm studying this, God breaks it into a couple of parts. But here's the physical part, man. All right. And ladies, I'm talking to the ladies as well. But Solomon being a man, we're being a man. He said, I made great works. So whatever those great works were, they were separated because he later on he said houses and vineyards. So whatever great works, whether it's a shopping center, he was a developer, he built the pyramids, whatever, something to that effect, he built something that was great. He said, I made great works and I built houses and planted vineyards. And I made, verse 5, I made gardens and orchards. I planted trees of all kinds of fruits. I made pools of water to water there with the wood that bringeth forth trees. Verse 7, I got servants and maidens, had servants born in my house. I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. Verse 8. I gathered also silver and gold and special types of treasures of the kings of the provinces. I had men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. Then he gets into the emotional, verse 9. He goes from the physical to the emotional. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Then he kind of shifts into the psychological. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. Somebody say, boy, that's a slippery slope, man. That's a dangerous place to be. We talked about the Queen of Sheba last week. And he said he gave the Queen of Sheba everything that she desired. We didn't get to that part. But if you read it, what is it? It's in 1 Kings. It talks about in 1 Kings and in 2 Chronicles. And, you know, so they try and have the Queen of Sheba and Solomon had a kid. You know, he gave her a little bit more than she left with more than she came with is what some scholars and spectators might say. But who knows? But he said whatever he saw, he didn't hold back from himself. Men, you have to have a filter. You have to have some discretion. You have to have limits. You have to have boundaries. You have to have values. You have to have some type of character and integrity about yourself. You cannot have whatever you see. You don't want to have whatever you see. Trust me. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in my labor. And this was a portion of all my labor. All right. So now it's kind of psychologically evaluating this. And then verse 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had made and on the labor that I labored to do. And behold, all was vanity. It was all empty. And vexation of spirit, and there was no profit, there was no advantage. He had all this stuff, and he said he had no advantage at all. Then I saw that wisdom exceeded folly, that to be wise is far greater than to be foolish, as far as light excelleth darkness. No comparison between wisdom and foolishness and light and dark. So now he evaluates, he says, it's all empty and it's grievous of spirit and it was no advantage. He said vexation of spirit is when you like you try and grab the wind. So try and grab the wind real quick. Let's see what you get. He said all the stuff he had was. Was just like grasping at the wind. Nothing. And so then for us. Or for me, growing up as a poor kid in L.A., just growing up, we always thought if we had money, problems would go away. See, that's the trick that the enemy uses, that when you poor, he makes you think that if you get money, it's going to solve your problems. So you go rob, steal, cheat, and lie for money. But that's the deception that you're caught up into because you think that stuff makes you happy. Solomon found out apart from God, nothing makes you happy. It's only God that can fill that void in our hearts. So we're always searching after stuff and we have to get this. And men, you know how we have to get a nice car and then our friend gets a boat. Then we got to get a boat. And then you got to try and sell your boat because it's taking up too much money because you got to pay the docking fees and all that. And you only use it once last year. Yeah. And you're paying all this money for it. But because they had one, I had to get one. And then, ladies, you know, because all your girlfriends are getting married and you're getting a little older, you got to get married. So you just grab anything just to say that you're married. And then a week later, you realize I was better by myself. But because they had it, you wanted to be something, so you had to get it so you could be something. And God says, you're already something. Get off the merry-go-round. You're already something. Amen. God is saying, stop grasping at the wind. You're already something. Get into me. You are already something. But the enemy plays these games with us where we think we have to be something outside of God, where God has already made us something. We meet with our young ladies purpose and purity class. Now we're doing it every fourth Sunday, which would be next Sunday, young ladies. And we taught them from day one, if based on Psalms 139, before you were even born, God made you something. So all these jokers at school trying to tell you how cute you are and how good you look, you let them know God has already made me something. Thank you. I know it. Keep stepping. Hey, man, there you go. Don't get caught up in that stuff, young ladies. Don't. You already something, because before you were something, God made you special. And you have to know that. Otherwise, the enemy will use that against you and make you think you have to be something. So you have to sleep around and you have to drink and you have to do this so that you could be in the in crowd and you could be cool. But God has already made you who you are. And so here's Solomon. He's finding it out after he has everything. Look, let's continue with this. Verse 14. He says, the wise man, now he gets to the spiritual. He went through the physical, he went to the emotional, the psychological, and now he gets into the spiritual. But he says, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh around in darkness. And then he says, I myself perceive. That's perceive. That's when you get to the spiritual, where God gives you insight, he gives you understanding, he gives you direction. That's why we pray and fast daily for perception, for revelation, knowledge. He said also that one event happened to them all. So whether you a fool or whether you're wise, you're going to deal with the same things. Whether you're rich or you're poor, whether you have money or you don't, whether you catch the bus or you drive a nice car, it's still going to happen to you. You're going to have to deal with death. You're going to have to deal with life. You're going to have to deal with haters. You're going to have to deal with the same thing. Verse 15, then said I in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it shall happen to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. It's empty. So he's getting real deep now. I don't know if he's been drinking that wine he was talking about, but he's gotten real deep. Solomon's gotten, at borderline depression, and he's going to cross over in just a minute. Verse 16, for there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as a fool? There, here, now he crossed over into depression. Therefore, I hated life. How can you have everything and sit down and get depressed? Ask those of us that have been there. You go into that nice big empty house and you go, wow, this is it. And you can ask those who we know that Golden State won the championship. I don't care who your favorite team is, but yeah. But see, you have those guys who are experiencing that. They won the championship, the highest high, then they go home and go, now what? If you don't have God, then what do you do? I thought it would feel different. My former pastor, Dr. Billy, was the chaplain for the Lakers. 1983, I'll never forget it. We got swept by Philadelphia 76ers. That was a tough day. Amen. That was a tough day. We got swept in four. And that fourth game was at the Fabulous Forum back then. Dr. Billy said they were passing out the champagne and everything. And Dr. J came over to him and said, man, let's get out of here. That's, man, I can't deal with this. This is nothing. That's life. You can have it all and have nothing. And you can have God and have all that you need. But you got to understand, just like Solomon understand, he hated. How do you have everything? How do you have men singers? Who does that? You have servants born in your house and you just have men and women singing in your house all the time? On cue? I want to hear this song, sing it. I mean, who does that? Solomon did. And he said, look what he says in 17. He says, therefore, I hated life because the work that is done under the sun is evil unto me. He considered everything he had done because he had turned his back on God that it was evil. Anything we have without God is grievous. It's stressful. It is borderline evil. Because if you don't have God in your life, then who are you working for? If you're not working for God, you know it's only two families. You work for God or you work for the devil. If you say, well, I don't work for anybody, then you know by default you're working for the devil. Because you got to work for one of the two. I'm just doing me. No, you can't just do you because somebody is influencing you. So he said it's all the work he had done apart from God was evil. For all is empty and grasping at the wind. Verse 18, yeah, I hated all my labor. I hated life. I hated everything. Really? Look at verse 9. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. Then you go to verse 18. I hated life. I hated everything that I did. Men, women, youngsters, we can't let the enemy just play ping pong with us all day back and forth. I'm going to work for God. No, I'm going to do it the world's way. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go. I'm going to be right. No. And then you're going to get to the point where you just hate everything that you're doing because you've turned your back on God. Yeah, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he's going to have everything that I got. And wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun, this is also empty. Therefore, I went about to cause my heart to despair. I was depressed. I was down and out. Of all the labor which I took under the sun, for there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity, yet to a man that have not labored, haven't done anything, therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. Listen to the radio and they were talking about how these wealthy guys, they build all this wealth and don't spend time with their kids, and then they die and they leave it all to the kids who they never taught how to do anything with it and how to live with it. And then the kids self-destruct and get caught up in drugs and alcohol because instead of raising their kids, they got all this stuff and then they die and they leave it to their kids. And the kids have no clue because dad or whoever was out being a provider and conquering the world and not raising to be a man or a daughter. Wow. Did I say Happy Father's Day to the men? Happy Father's Day, men. All right, Happy Father's Day. Did I mention that, Ivy? Okay, well, Happy Father's Day. All right, let me close this up so we'll go somewhere else next week. See, when you get a chance, read all of chapter 2. But let me close it up. Let's go to Natalie. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Let's go to chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. So let's close up. When you get a chance to read all of chapter 2, it's very powerful. Shows how we can have everything and have nothing. So then Solomon, well, let's sum it up then, Solomon. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Of the whole matter, says, reverence God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is the purpose of our life, that we should reverence God, we should honor God, and do what God says to do. This is what we were born to do. And that word man is mankind, which means men and women. And why is that? It says, verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's the good news, that God is going to bring everything that we've done into judgment. But that's also the bad news, because God is going to bring everything we've done into judgment. And we say, thank God for the blood. Amen.
Amen.
And see, because there's, it's not just a bad thing, because there are some things that you and I do that people never see. We don't get the pat on the back. We don't get the accolades. We don't get the appreciation. We don't get the plaque. And God said, that's okay, because I'm going to bring it to the table. God's going to put it all on the table. It's like God is going to empty our hearts on the table. It's going to be like spiritual open heart surgery, where he lays all your heart on the table and say, let's go through your stuff. Hey, Tommy, let's check out your heart. Off. Even the secret thing. Let me get that secret thing out of here, Tommy. Let's put that on the table, too.
Yeah.
Okay. That secret thing, I mean, that the good secret things that you do, but it's also the other secret things that, well, God, I just want a little taste. I just take a little look. You know, I just little peep. I didn't really look. I just peeped. It's a little drink. I just want a little touch, a little thought. I'm going to just think a little bit about it. I just want a little feel. I just want a little listen. I just want a little smell. I just want a little. That's the secret thing. It's going to be, boom, put on the open heart surgery table right there. Let's take a look at it. And if you don't understand that you need Jesus to cover that, now you do.
Amen.
Solomon said, I had all this stuff, but let me get to the bottom line. God's going to perform spiritual open heart surgery, and all our stuff is going to be laid on the table. Nobody gets away with anything. You're not going to talk your way out of it. Either it's covered by the blood, or you got to deal with the consequences of a life that has no atonement. What's your atonement? What's my atonement? What covers our sins, past, present, and future? Somebody say, thank God for Jesus. It is plain. It is simple. God has called us to live this thing. All right, let us close with the scripture. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Reverence God, honor God, and do what he says. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. This is your entire duty, to love God and do what he says. Because it's not, God's not trying to ruin your life. He's not a cosmic killjoy. God doesn't want you to have fun. No, that's not it. God doesn't want you to self-destruct. God doesn't want you to spend your whole life on a hamster wheel chasing something that you'll never get, because it's found in him. That's why I said, just do what I say. I got this for you. Verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And we'll pick it up there next week. Let us just bow our heads really quickly. Have Brother Tommy come and close us out in prayer in just a minute. But just, someone might be here and maybe that just resonated with your heart, where God is saying he's bringing up the secret things. That's why you don't have to worry about what somebody else is doing, because God's going to expose it. You don't have to worry about what they're saying about you. God's going to deal with them. You and I, we just have to deal with ourselves, and we have to deal with God. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, thus says the Lord. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing. Give your whole heart to God. Don't try and mix it with wisdom and wine. Give God 100%. Give God the secret thing. That's what's been holding someone back this morning. That thing where I'm almost there, but I still got this because I need this. No, you don't. You need to give God 100%. It's the bottom line. God wants to do so much with your life. And the shame is, you'll never know, because you still hold on to the secret things. You're giving God 90, God wants 100. That's good, giving him 90, but you can only go so far. You can only do 90% of what God's called you to do. God wants 100. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all you and I could ask or think of. So, Heavenly Father, I just pray that you're working with the hearts of your people, because it all comes back to the heart. And it's personal between you and them, just like it's personal between me and you, Lord. Only you know if you have 100% of our heart. And only they know if they've given you 100. So if someone's here and say, Pastor, well, I need to get saved. Let me give Christ my heart. I've never given my heart and life to Jesus Christ. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you now. Or maybe you're saying, Pastor, I just need to rededicate. I need to get back on track. If that's you, elevate. I'd love to pray with you right now. If that's you, you want to rededicate, get back on track with God. Maybe you're looking for a church home and you say, Lord, I just need a place where I can fellowship and find my purpose, my method, grow in God. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to be your church family. We're not members. We're our family here. Lord, how we thank you for this great Father's Day. How we bless you, Lord. There's none like you. There's nothing too hard for you. We thank you, Lord, for your people on this morning. We bless you, Lord.